Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Subscribe. Leave us a good review. Tell your friends to subscribe. All that good stuff. If you want to advertise with us, reach some more listeners in the Chicago area who are Bulls fans, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. You can also send us questions to that email address to answer on the show. You can also find us on Twitter at lockedonbulls, like us on Facebook at lockedonbulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And, Cody, the Bulls are now 13-10 on the season. They beat the Miami Heat. Pretty ugly game, but
yes,
two-game winning streak.
That's the most important part for the Bulls, and it's a game that Fred Hoiberg thought the Bulls came out a little lackadaisical, a little flat, he said. Very much the case. In the first quarter, they had a two-point lead, but the defensive effort was poor early from the Bulls, I think, and it was poor from Rajon Rondo early on. Goran Dragic
lit him up.
Got in the lane at will and kind of won that matchup tonight. Dragic had 21 points, 11 assists. Rondo had 4 points, 6 assists. And really, it was just Dragic getting into the teeth of the defense early that gave the Bulls some problems. But you got to remember, the Heat are bad. They're 7-17.
They were missing a bunch of guys.
They're missing, yes, very much so. Justice Winslow out, James Johnson, Luke Babbitt. These guys
Deion
not available.
Waiters.
Yep, Deion Waiters not available for the Heat. So
Rodney Magruder, D League guy, was starting. Shout out to my man. This little kid in the section near us was wearing a Rodney Magruder Heat jersey. Shout out to that guy. True Heat fan. I respect the dedication.
Yeah, so the game, I wasn't surprised that it was ugly. I was a little surprised it was still so close at the end. I had the Bulls winning this one by like 10 or 12 points by just having a 7-point lead the entire fourth quarter or something. But the Heat had a chance to tie, actually, in the last 10 seconds. 103-100, had the ball. Dragic and I believe Josh Richardson tried a little dribble handoff behind the three-point line. Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson helped to blow that play up. Ball popped in the air. I think it was Jimmy who grabbed it, knocked down a couple free throws to seal it. But Dwayne Wade said in the post-game interview right there on the court, and then Rondo repeated it, the Bulls kind of knew it was coming from the Heat. Gave a shout-out to the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing for Rajon Rondo lately, you know. Complimenting the coaching staff after that one-game suspension. And so it sounds like Fred Hoiberg didn't go into details on that a lot, but it sounds like the Bulls kind of knew it was coming from the Heat and did a good job, I guess, with the game on the line of making just enough plays against a bad team to win a game would be the best way to put this.
Yeah, I would say so. There was certainly a lot less fanfare this time around Dwayne Wade playing against the Heat than there was last month when they did it in Miami. Exactly a month ago, actually. That was November 10th. This is December 10th. But you know, it was all, you know, Eric Spoelstra said before the game that it'll always be weird to see Wade in a non-Heat uniform. And he was better tonight than I think he was in the
game. Yeah, it wasn't
in
on
Miami.
A back-to-back.
It wasn't on a back-to-back. 28 points, 11 of 24 shooting. He was out there. He scored 11 points in the third quarter when the Bulls went on that run to kind of blow the game open in the third quarter.
This is worth noting. Dwayne Wade's now averaging 20.2 points per game this season, which I think is even, it's more than I anticipated, I believe. I thought he'd be in that 17.5, 18-point range,
right,
probably, which I think he might have actually been like 5 games ago, but he's had a few, put a string of good games together here lately. And again, that first Heat game you referenced was the second game of a back-to-back. Hasn't been playing back-to-back so much lately. And when he's got a day of rest, he's a darn good basketball player. He had a great slice to the defense and one dunk that, while not over Hassan Whiteside, was in the vicinity of Hassan Whiteside trying to block him and ended up fouling him. Fred Hoiberg was noting that it was 22-year-old Dwayne Wade.
There was a lot of arguments on Twitter about whether he dunked on Hassan Whiteside. It was all semantics. It was kind of,
he did not dunk on. There will be no poster is the best way to put it.
There will
he
be,
might be in the camera frame on the edges fouling him. But Dwayne Wade was very good in that regard. You know what I mean? He's not, like, as efficient as Jimmy Butler. So he had 28 points on 24 shots, 7 trips to the free throw line. That's, like, 28 points on 27,
uses of a possession or so, where Jimmy Butler had 31 points on 15 shots, 15 of 16 from the free throw line.
He's just been doing, that's what he does. He gets to the foul line, he draws contact, and that's what he's been doing all year. That's how he's so efficient right now.
And this was really needed because the Bulls shot 1 of 8 from 3-point range, and that those 8 3-point attempts are really noteworthy because the NBA low for any team entering tonight this season was 7, and the Bulls had not shot as few as 8 3-pointers since February 2010, which I believe was the last season of the Vinny Del Negro era. And Tom Thibodeau would have coached here 5 years and they never shot so few three-pointers. And now you have Fred Hoiberg, a coach who comes in with a space and pace system, loves three-point shots. And as we mentioned the other day, the Bulls are last in the NBA in three-point attempts, makes, and percentage. Only goes down after this 1-for-8 performance. And it's kind of shocking to me, jarring to see that low of a number. Fred and Rondo both kind of said, you know, that's what the defense gave the Bulls. But at the same time, like, they don't have good three-point shooting right now either, obviously.
They don't. And even, you know, Doug McDermott, who had his second game back today, he only took 2 3-pointers, missed both of them. I have to say, though, I like the way Doug has been playing. He's been aggressive. You kind of were worried that, you know, he – I'm not saying you as in you, Cody Westwood. I'm saying you, like, the general listener, you know, was worried after his
– It's a serious concussion. Second concussion.
He had a second concussion. You were a little bit worried that maybe he'd be afraid to attack the basket or be aggressive. He drove pretty hard to the rim a few different times during this game. I really like the aggression that he's playing with. And just – honestly, just having him out there just gives them such a different look. And just gives them so many more options for what to do in the rotation. The offense just doesn't look as stagnant when he's out there just because he's a threat to shoot and he spaces the floor.
Yeah, and the Bulls are one of the worst fourth quarter offenses in the NBA just by way of offensive efficiency, field goal percentage. And part of that's because teams do tend to ignore Rondo even more. And the Bulls have a general inclination to give the ball to Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler late with the game on the line. And then Rondo, not having the ball in his hands, naturally isn't doing a whole lot on offense, you know what I mean? When you choose to give the ball to Jimmy and D-Wade in crunch time, it kind of negates the one thing Rondo does, and that's create plays for others with the ball and see the floor well. So that's part of the reason the offense has been bad. It was pretty bad tonight for the most part, too, but they just made enough free throws at the end and enough buckets to stay ahead of the heat or whatever. But I did want to get back to the three-point aspect of it, because it ties into what Fred did tonight a little bit. He did go offense, defense, sub McDermott for Rondo.
Which is a little bit funny. Subbing Rondo in for defense seems like not the move.
Yeah, yes, but at least we can focus on the offensive portion of that. And the Bulls did not score on that possession, but McDermott's guy was glued to him in the corner, and it allowed Dwayne Wade to operate one-on-one on a jump shot that he missed in the final minute that would have helped the Bulls probably clinch it a little sooner. But this 1-for-8 three-point showing, Sean, can the Bulls, is this sustainable if they're this bad at three-point shooting? Like, Fred Hoiberg made the point after the game, I have confidence we're going to make double-digit three-pointers again in a game this year.
Did he say make or take?
No, make. Or did he say, I don't know. Insinuated the way he said it, make. I just don't know when.
How many times have they done that this season? How many times have they made double-digit three-pointers?
We'd have to look it up for a second here, but
I'm going to go look that up right now. Keep talking.
Okay, but I just don't know how sustainable it is, to be honest, because they're basically averaging 6 for 20 from the three-point line per game, and I know the Bulls do a great job getting the free-throw line about as well as anyone in the NBA, and a lot of that has to do with Jimmy Butler, obviously, that we've talked about. But at some point, smart defensive teams, Sean, are going to get to them in that regard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they are. I mean, there are some teams that, you know, they'll be able to score a lot in the paint against like they did tonight, but it's just not something that they can really count on a night-to-night basis if they don't really have that. Oh, well, their first game of the season, they made 11 three-pointers against the Celtics.
Is that the only one you're finding?
That's what I'm looking, so.
Okay. Well, they have hit double-digit three-pointers a few times. Are you going game by game?
That's the only way I can.
No, you can.
I don't think we need
it on basketball reference. It's far too much of a time suck. But the Bulls certainly have found a way to get the job done offensively in different ways. But as they play better teams, better defenses, if their defense starts to show creaks and they need to score a little more efficiently or score more than 105 points in the game, there's no margin for error. The ceiling there when you're not making three-pointers is so
so much lower than a team that can just go on a 12-0 run with 4 3-pointers. And it's difficult. And Isaiah Cannon, yeah, not in the rotation tonight because
Fred
he hasn't been shooting
well. Fred switched up the rotation a little bit in the first half. Denzel Valentine got the Isaiah Cannon minutes. The second half, it was Jaron Grant. Neither of them did too much. They didn't really either play any minutes. A good game for Cristiano Felicio again.
What do you like about him?
Solid minutes. He was out there rebounding. He had 7 boards, set some good screens, got a couple of putbacks. He was, you know, I just like his activity out there.
He had 6 points and 6 rebounds in his first 8 or 9 minutes of play, and he finished with 6 points and 7 rebounds. So he did a lot more in the first half. But, I mean, again, like I've pointed this out a few times, but just the way he can recover defensively, and there are a couple more plays tonight. The Heat were running some two-man action, putting Dragic in a pick-and-roll with whatever big man they had out there. Sometimes it was Whiteside, sometimes some other guys. But he could corral Dragic and then let the defender catch up and get back to his guy and defend that pick-and-roll with 2 people instead of having a 3rd defender, which changes your defensive calculus. And I know this isn't new or earth-shattering or anything. It's not going to make the Bulls' defense elite or anything, but it adds another component and skill that they just don't have out there, even with Robin Lopez, because he's more stationary in the middle. You know, Felicio can go side to side a little better. And I guess we're just really big Chris Felicio fans. Like, we were part of the Free Felicio movement, and he's been freed, and now we're just going to keep riding the Felicio defensive train.
Yeah, I think part of the Free Felicio movement, when we were part of it, I mean, I've always kind of thought he was a legitimate rotation player, but I think part of it was just how bad Bobby Portis was, and in particular how bad the Bobby Nico unit was. But my thought process was just kind of throw Felicio out there; it can't possibly be worse than what there is now. But he's actually been good, and they had some all bench units out there, and the Felicio Miritich combo didn't get completely lit up the way that the Bobby Nico stuff did a few games ago.
Yeah, it's worth noting a shoot around we asked Fred about the investment in Bobby Portis and weighing that against someone like Chris Felicio, who's playing better basketball right now. And Fred said, we think Bobby Portis has a really bright future. He's still young, and we have confidence in him. But Chris is basically giving us a better chance to win right now, was to paraphrase Fred Hoiberg. Do you see Portis, like, how does he get his opportunity now, you know? Because he's not outplaying any of those people, but at the same time, you can't not play Bobby Portis the rest of the year and expect to have any better understanding of him or his value.
That's a good question, Cody. And that's a guy that I might like. I mean, you've seen them use the D League a bunch. Like, they sent a few guys down recently. Jaron Grant, Paul Zipser, at various different points. We haven't seen Bobby get assigned to the Windy City Bulls yet.
Yeah, and first and second year players can be sent to the D League. No questions asked.
Yeah.
I believe third year players have to consent to going, kind of give their permission, like when Doug McDermott went for his to practice to get back from his concussion. Obviously, that was a no-brainer. Doug's going to do what's best and what his coaches tell him, but at the same time,
I don't think any of these guys are really in a position to say no to a D League assignment.
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, they could assign Bobby Portis there. If they want,
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that at some point.
Like, you know, again, the Bulls need to win games. Like, that's their plan. They want to make the playoffs. They want to make money. Making the playoffs helps the organization make money. They want to instill a winning culture in these younger guys. And it's the balancing act of winning these games and some of these younger guys not being able to play a lot while they're doing that. And I think they're doing a pretty darn good job so far.
Yeah, I think so. Now that Felicio's back in the rotation, you know, they're playing their 9 or 10 best guys every night. Fred talked this morning at shoot-around about Paul Zipser, and that's a guy they feel is ready. I think once Michael Carter-Williams is back from his wrist injury, which I think could be next week from what we understand, I think the 9-man rotation is going to be the 5 starters plus MCW, Doug, Nico, and Felicio.
You just used the word Paul Zipser and ready in the same sentence and didn't finish it.
He's ready to play. They would feel confident putting him in. He just needs to get his opportunity. That's what Fred Hoiberg said this morning.
I don't believe a single word of that.
Well, that's what he said.
Paul Zipser is the 13th, 14th. He's buried. No, he's not getting in the game anytime soon.
No, he's not. He's going to play. He's going to spend more time in the D League.
I would be shocked. You brought up MCW. Next week is the best case scenario. More than likely, it's even longer than next week.
Well, I talked to him a little bit before the game in the locker room, and he...
What would he say?
I mean, it wasn't anything big, but, like, he had the... Fred mentioned the other day that he doesn't have the hard cast on his wrist anymore. He has the soft cast now, and I just asked him how he's feeling, and he said it's going really well. So it makes me think, you know, if there are no setbacks, he'll be on the shorter end of that than the longer end.
I was a little concerned because Fred was asked, so is late in this month, confident or a good bet for MCW to come back? And from the time of this podcast taping, late in this month would be like 2 weeks from now. And Fred said it's still hard to tell.
Well, I think
which I read into it might still be a little longer.
See, I think you read more into that than I would. What I read into that was more just that he doesn't want to say yes, it's likely that he'll be back by then, or no, it's not, because then that's going to create expectations, and then if he isn't back by then it's like, oh, well, didn't you say that he was going to be back by then?
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. I understand that. It does bring up a interesting dynamic when MCW does come back, because now we've seen several games in a row, Fred being a little more willing to go to Doug the other night. He played like a 2 or 3 minute stretch late in the game when they won. And he's been a little more willing to put him out there in crunch time, offensive, defense, sub tonight. But they could theoretically go Doug MCW as that fifth man instead of Rondo and put the ball in D-Wade and Jimmy Butler's hands to create late and not play Rondo in crunch time as much. Do you think that's in the realm of possibility? I think we had a listener point out that with a good question.
Yeah, I think that's possible, but we were talking about this earlier when he was doing the offense-defense sub for Rondo, and Rondo is not a good defender. MCW is a good defender, and he's long, and I think he would help them more in that regard, I think, at this point than Rondo would. I do want to see more of that once everybody's healthy. I want to see more of that almost all bench lineup where you have Wade playing with the bench unit. We saw this in the first few games of the season. That was MCW, Wade, Doug, Nico, and Felicio. We saw that the first couple of games of the season before MCW got hurt, and I thought that lineup was pretty effective for short minutes.
Yeah, and I like it because I guess we were so taken aback because, again, we'd become accustomed to Derrick Rose's on-ball defense of years past, which Rondo very much imitates with the same lack of intensity a lot of the time at the point. And then MCW in what, 3 games I think he saw action or something before he got hurt. Like, he was dogging guys like 74 feet from the hoop for no reason other than because he could and he wanted to prove himself and it was good for the Bulls, which are 3 really good reasons, but just reasons we hadn't seen in a long time. So again, it establishes that defense. And the thing is too, NBA shot clock's only 24 seconds. These guys are world-class shooters, athletes, basketball players.
Well, I don't know how many world-class shooters there are.
I'm saying in general, professional basketball players, the elite of the elite in the world. But if you can trim 2 seconds, 3 seconds off of an opponent's shot clock just because one of their guards is being hassled by Michael Carter Williams or something, bringing the ball up the court and getting into their offense, that can matter. You know, that's a difference between one more swing pass to a shooter. That's one less defensive rotation. And trust me, the Bulls, the fewer defensive rotations they have to make, that's always a good thing. So I do think it's the little things at the margins that he can help with. I don't think they're going to go on any different trajectory because Michael Carter-Williams comes back.
It just means, you know, you feel more comfortable with MCW being out there than you do with trying to patch together those minutes with, you know, what we've seen out of Jerian Grant and Denzel Valentine and Isaiah Cannon, none of whom have been particularly impressive outside of that one good game that Jaren had against the Blazers last month.
Yeah, Isaiah Cannon did not play coach's decision tonight.
He's been bad.
Denzel Valentine had done that, I think, the previous 2 games. So
yeah.
Cannon kind of so falling out of favor right now a little bit because, again, we said he tries on defense, but he's still small, so you can take advantage of him. He does try. I mean, he puts the effort in. But when he's here because he shoots, and he's shooting 27-28%
right. Three-point. That's supposed to be his one NBA-level skill is, you know, being a three-point shooter, and that's just he's not hitting his threes, and so there's no reason to have him out there on the court. He's too small to guard anybody, really. He's not enough of a playmaker to be able to run point when Rondo or Jaren or Wade or whoever isn't out there. He just doesn't really offer a lot at this point.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler obviously does offer a lot. Just another quick, I guess, shout out to Jimmy's all-around maturing game, because This was a night when I think you look back, and I'll make 2 points out of this. They won because of Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade tonight being really good at basketball and getting to the hoop and finishing. Jimmy was spectacular. I do think this game, when you look back, is they signed Dwayne Wade because of the professionalism, the leadership, the culture he could help bring, as well as the basketball talents, which, again, is going terrific considering he's averaging 20 points a game. I think there's about 22 people in the NBA averaging 20 points a game, so it's not like every team even has a guy doing that, and the Bulls have two of them with Jimmy around 25 points, Dwayne around 20. But this is a game, if you didn't have Dwayne Wade, if you hadn't signed him to the Bulls this summer, the Bulls probably would have lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been the reason they would have been on pace for, what, a 30-31 win season?
Yeah.
Losing games like this to bad teams at home. They signed Dwayne Wade. He was good tonight. That's a game they won because he and Jimmy Butler played like stars. You don't sign him in the summer. And that's just, I just think that's kind of reflective and symbolic of, obviously, why they signed Dwayne Wade, but also what they were staring at before they made that signing that surprised everyone. And, I mean, it kind of goes with the theme of the night, I guess, with the Heat being here, too, as former team, you know?
Yeah, I would say. Do you have anything else to say about this game? This is kind of all I got.
Tibbs comes back on Tuesday.
Yeah. Is he going to get a tribute video? That's the million-dollar question.
To be determined?
To be determined. We're going to have to find out.
Yeah, the suspense will run through Tuesday night at the United Center, clearly. I expect him to get a big ovation, and I think we'll cover this in full probably on Monday's podcast.
Yeah, well, I think we're probably going to take tomorrow off because they're not going to practice. Well, they're going to practice, I'm assuming, on Monday. We'll record on Monday.
Yeah, we might be taking tomorrow off Sunday in the city simply because we're snowed in.
Yeah.
And there's no way anyone can move if the reports. The fun part of this, I did harken back to the days of Joakim Noah. So we get to the United Center at, what, 4 or 5, when it's just starting to snow, and we're in here still recording this 6 hours later. And we have no idea if there's, like, 3 inches of snow on the ground or 17 inches by now when we go outside and look. But it took me back to the days of Joakim Noah being informed in, like, the first week of April 1 year that it was snowing after a game and Joe being shocked. You remember that?
Yeah, he was like, oh, hell no.
Taken aback. Oh, hell no, you're lying to me. And then he just had a sad puppy dog look on his face.
We don't like sad Joakim.
No, even though right now New York's good. The Knicks are playing well, but
pretty
not
good.
Because he's playing.
No, he's been bad.
Certainly. So we'll keep an eye on all that. All the NBA, obviously, the story. Coming up, Tibbs back to the United Center with his Timberwolves, who are struggling mightily and have the Golden State Warriors on Sunday. I don't know.
The Warriors, who got blown out by Memphis tonight, by the way.
I don't know how good of a mood Tibbs will be in Tuesday when he shows up after having to play Mad Warriors on Sunday. So we'll see how that goes. But as always, follow myself on Twitter at Cody Westerlund. Follow Sean at Hyken. Locked On Bulls is on Twitter, right where you'd expect it to be, at Locked On Bulls. Got a Facebook page, too. That's where you like to hit us up. Email us with any basketball questions. Most importantly, advertising inquiries. You'll be shocked, but we do have a predominantly male following. We're really good with the 14 to 55-year-old crowd. Or excuse me, 18 to 55, but we love our teenage listeners.
Shout out to our teenage listeners.
Shout out to the freshman high schoolers listening. We love you guys, too. You can advertise, too, even though we probably expect the people with jobs to have a little more money. But yeah, you can email us at Lockdown Bulls with advertising inquiries. Most of all, please subscribe to us at iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, where else?
Everywhere. iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Leave us a review, preferably 5 stars. Tell your friends to subscribe. Subscribe yourself. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL. Any NBA or NFL team, all of them have their own Locked On podcast, just like ours. You can check out any of them that you want. The NFL playoffs are coming up. There's a bunch of options there all around the NBA. We got some good stuff on the network, too, and we will be back with you in a couple days. Take it easy.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.